Hi, and welcome to the Fundraising Leadership Podcast, episode 26. I'm Janice Cunning.
And I'm David Landjuli. And Janice, we have somebody joining us today. I won't call her a guest. I will call her a fundraising leadership collaborator and co-creator. And her name is Michelle Malloy Dillon, and she is on the podcast from Boulder, Colorado today. Welcome, Michelle.
Thank you so much. It's a delight to be here with both of you.
And why don't you share with the audience how you and Janice and I know each other, because there's a whole interesting story behind that. And then we'll talk about the blog post I wrote. How about that?
Well, sure. So Janice and David and I have received similar leadership training through the Coaches Training Institute. And we collaborated on a year-long multi-tribe leadership quest in the year 2018 and created a bunch of leadership retreats around North America. And we got to know each other a lot through the planning and implementation of those retreats, and we were able to meet in person during the Colorado portion of the journey back in November of 2018.
Yeah, and there's even more to the story, right? Because like Janice and I met in the CTI leadership program, where we created fundraising leadership from that and from each other. And then you were still in leadership and I was out. I can't remember the sequence here. A mutual friend, Eric Kohner, who lives out in Pasadena, kind of introduced us. And it turns out that you and I had Sam House leading our separate tribes. And I came through Colorado and went and had lunch with you in Boulder.
Right. And the commonality was that we both were interested in working within higher education, doing leadership development programs within the higher education space.
And so lo and behold, I think 2 years, two plus years after that fateful meeting, you and I co-led a day-long workshop at Colorado State. So
That was kind of fun.
And here we are now. And now you're doing more should let the audience know, you know, Michelle's going to be doing more stuff with us. She's helping us with our accountability workshops. You know, you're going to hear more from her, especially, you know, she and I both have certifications in DISC. And so we're going to be doing more stuff with you all in the future. And with Janice, too. We'll see where this all goes.
Yeah, it's exciting. New year, and we're expanding. So and hopefully, Michelle, you'll join us, you know, now and then on the podcast. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So let's jump in. We're going to kind of unpack your blog about honor is dead, long live the honorable. I feel like I should long live the honorable.
Long live the honorable. Well, you know, it's a topic that is has quickly faded from the culture, modern culture in general. It wasn't too long ago. I lived in a place, I'll share with the audience, I lived in San Francisco, not too far from where the last duel in North America was fought. And dueling was part of the honor culture. And, you know, it went something like this, you know, if you insulted somebody like the way some of our political leaders do today in public, it was pistols for two at dawn and coffee for one. I mean, that's what it was. That was only about, let's say, a little more than 100 years ago. And so people were much more civil, at least on the surface, shall we say. There was more civility in those days. And so, yeah, I'm taking a little stand for having more of that. And I wrote about this because I happen to have been educated at a very old institution of higher education in North America called Washington and Lee that goes back to the 1700s, where there is still an honor code and honor system. And young men and women still get a flavor for that and can get a flavor for that. But it's a very few places where you can find that now. Yeah.
Well, there's an element to honor where, you know, you're talking about the duel, right, and the pistols. It's sort of like a common agreement that if someone doesn't uphold the honor system or the system of honor in the society, right, that this is what happens. There's a consequence or a punishment for anyone who violates it.
Sure.
Like, I don't know that we have a consistent consequence set up in our society now for violating honor.
Well, in some respects, it lives in a very small way in the law, but the law is no substitute. I'll give you an example. For example, in the mass media today, there are no consequences for lying. There just aren't. You see it happen now. I mean, it's regularly reporting that is inaccurate. There's no consequences. Nobody. They just make a correction and that's it. You know, there's no cleaning up the mess, as we like to say, when we're out of integrity. So that's the word that I think would be most familiar to people now is that's the closest analog to honor in the modern society. We would say it's integrity or keeping your word. And then when you are unable or unwilling to keep your word, then you create a mess. And then at least the way we were trained, you know, you have to clean that up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. First you have to notice it, you know, like, and then you have to be responsible for the impact. And you, David, you wrote about one of your, you know, more memorable professors. And I think we all have those figures in our life. And if we're lucky, sometimes they're teachers or professors. So I'd love you to tell us a little bit, more about him and like what inspired you to write about him at this
point. Sure. It's so interesting, Janice. Like, I had many professors as an undergraduate and a graduate student, and I only had this gentleman, and he was a gentleman. His name was Sid Cowling, Professor Cowling. Had him for one semester, my first semester freshman year. For English literature, and boy, what an impact. Like, I remember I thought I was pretty good with the English language. And this is a sophomore level course with a lot of juniors in it. And I remember that this course was, he was a rigorous man when it came to the English language. And, but so gentle and so, boy, it's really even hard to say that there's anyone that in today that could compare to his character. He had a way about him. You know how we talk about people have a certain way of being? He was just so almost the perfect gentleman, I have to say, and in a Southern sort of way, which you might imagine what that's like. In any event, I remember the course had like six papers, a midterm and a final. And I remember getting my first paper back and landing a solid D. And I said, oh, I am in way over my head here. And I thought I was a good writer. And you guys know, I'm a pretty good writer. Like even that blog post is not bad. I think it might even, I'm sure Professor Cowling could find something wrong with it, you know, if he were alive today. But I actually wrote that in tribute to him. Yes. Yeah. And you know, he was the kind of guy, like you met, you know, had him in class once, and then for my remaining 4 years at Washington Lee, I mean, every time, and this is part of the culture of that institution, although it's eroding, you walk on campus and you'd see him, he'd stop you, shake your hand, Mr. Langiuli, how are you? You know, he'd always want to know about you and ask you how things were going, you know, it was great.
Mm-hmm. From so that one. What made you really aware that he was a man of high integrity? Like what about him had that kind of impact on you?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, first of all, you couldn't get anything over on him. You know, I mean, I remember, and so after I wrote that first paper, you know, I was like, I became determined to like pass that class. And so after I got his remarks, his grading back from each paper, you know, I'd go see him and we would talk about all of my errors that I was making. Punctuation error, half a letter grade, run on sentence, whole letter grade, markdown. I mean, like, you could not make many errors. So, he was just like, he wasn't going to let you slide on anything. And I remember I used a word once, in a paper, and I used the word slothful. Now what does that mean? You know, I mean, he's like, Mr. Langiuli, that's a very unusual word. What did you mean by that? Well, I said, well, you know, these sloths, they move very slowly. And I was trying to, you know, I forget exactly what I was trying to get across, but I was trying to get across this, like, the motion of a sloth. But he would test you, man. It was like, you couldn't say anything. That was part of his integrity. And also his commitment to this gentle way of being, gentility, you know, politeness. Boy, that's gone. It just seems like it's gone. And just being polite, even, you know, or being agreeable, like we would say, you know, being agreeable even when you don't agree. Yeah. And he had a certain charm, mm-hmm. too. So I don't know if that quite is, there's a lot in there. So,
yeah, I mean, I hear a high level, you felt a high level of respect by someone who was holding you to a very high degree.
Yes.
I don't want to say perfection, but close to it.
Pretty right? much. Yeah. Like a very high standard.
Very high standard, but great respect in that balance.
Yeah. Right. So it's something like we call, like we've used this phrase, you know, again, it comes from our leadership program, unconditional high regard. Mm-hmm. Like even if you made an F, he held you in unconditional high regard. Right?
Yeah.
How many, I worked for another very old institution of higher ed that will not be named in this podcast, where if you make an error, you are not held in unconditional high regard. Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, I love that you asked that question, Michelle, because I think, you know, we're lucky that we've been trained to think a lot about like our impact, right? And be intentional about it. And, you know, that's one of the things that we try to pass on at Fundraising Leadership is like creating a space for leaders to really think intentionally about like, how do I want to be? How do I want to show up? And, you know, we're going to be playing with that a lot in our upcoming course.
Around, yeah.
You know, integrity and sort of using your position to do good in the world.
Yes. And there's something else that I want to share with the audience, because our audience, you know, consists of many nonprofit leaders, and many of them have fundraising responsibility, and not all of them are members of like the Association of Fundraising Professionals like I am. But if you are a member of that organization, you know that we have a code of ethics, and ethics kind of lives in a smaller way in the land of integrity. And when you are a fundraiser, you actually almost by definition are set up by the nature of the work can often be in a conflicted position. So for example, the institution may have a certain priority for which you are raising money, but the donor might have another priority. And when we reduce fundraising to a transaction around money, a lot of fundraising professionals get caught as to what am I to do here? Now, I happen to believe that you can navigate those situations and you can have conversations about those situations, but maintaining two at once, it's a both and situation. Like we talk a lot about yes anding. And sometimes, you know, you have to be very careful not to manipulate the donor. Mm-hmm. Because you're in a position of trust and power sometimes.
Yes.
So Integrity lives in the land of not manipulating the donor, even when you know you can and get the donation and make your numbers look good. Like, that's where it lives. That's where honor lives.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that this is not right for the donor at this time. And then going back to your organization, you know, and saying that to the donor and going back to your organization and saying it's just not right for this donor at this time. Boy, that's not an easy conversation to have with your boss. Mm-hmm. So that's where it lives
yeah.
in the profession.
Yeah. Definitely. And we'll put a link to our course in the notes for this episode so you can check it out. But if these are the kind of things that you're thinking about as a fundraising leader, then we'd love to have you join us. So before we wrap up, David, let's give the listeners something that they can practice.
Yeah, you had a great suggestion. So I wrote that blog post posthumously. Professor Cowling's now has passed away, and you reminded me that we can invite the audience to action if they, well, there's the buzzer for the end of the podcast. Thank you.
That's the call you're being called to make.
That's the call you're going to make. So actually that's, I'll use that. So look, if there's someone who has had an impact on your life and they're still alive and you've never shared that, then pick up the phone and call them. I have done this with people. Or if you also want to have a really nice personal touch, you can write that person a handwritten note and express the impact that they had in your life. So that's the invitation. Make the call, write the note. I would say steer away from the email. Like mm-hmm. really make it personal. Mm-hmm. And acknowledge them for the impact that they've had. I was able to do this posthumously for Professor Cowling in the blog post, so go take a look at that. And if you all want to learn more about how to integrate more integrity into your work, join us in the course in March. It's going to be very powerful.
Yeah. Great. All right. Well, thanks, David, for writing that and talking to us. And Michelle, thanks for joining us. And so we'll invite you to go put that into practice.
Yeah, bye. Thanks for having me. It was fun to participate.
Bye.